Let's open with hymn number 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
As for me, I will call upon God, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication.
Glory be to the Father, and to
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who by thy Holy Ghost hast revealed unto us the gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we beseech thee so to quicken our hearts that we may sincerely receive thy word and not make light of it or hear it without fruit, as did thy people, the unbelieving Jews, but that we may fear thee and daily grow in faith in thy mercy and finally obtain eternal salvation through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this 10th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah, the 1st through the 11th verse. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, We are delivered to do all these abominations. Has the house which is called by my name become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 1st through the 11th verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Here ends the epistle lesson. Keep me, O Lord, as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 19th chapter of Luke, the 41st through the 48th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now as he drew near, he saw the city, and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 7, or 419.
Grace, mercy, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 19th chapter of Luke, the 41st through the 48th verse. Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Here ends our text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Is God a God of wrath, or is he a God of mercy? Does God hate you because of your sins, or does he love you and want you to be with him forever? These are not simple questions. The church has struggled with them for as long as there's been a church. For the scriptures, beginning with Adam and Moses and all the prophets, consistently maintain both that God punishes sin in the most exacting degree, that he is merciful and full of compassion, forgiving our iniquity, cleansing us from sin. Both then must be true. And yet men continue to struggle with this question because our minds are unable to reconcile these two things, that God is holy and that God is gracious. What makes this question so important is that each man must consider this about himself. Does God love me? Or has he damned me to hell? If God truly is both gracious, forgiving sin, and just, condemning sinners, how then can I know which I shall receive, his forgiveness or damnation? Surely there must be some way to resolve this question, and indeed, it is critical that it be resolved for every person. After all, your place in eternity depends on it. But how can you come to terms with these two truths? To our minds, they seem to be contradictions. Too many people have gone astray, trying to reconcile these two truths about God with human schemes. Some have foolishly tried to say that God himself has changed. He's become softer in his old age, they would say. Or that the Word of God has changed. Or that the men who wrote down the scriptures didn't understand the mind of God, and their understanding of God grew over time. But today, we have heard Jesus, our dear Redeemer and Lord, in whose name is forgiveness, life, and salvation, weep over Jerusalem, the city of his father David, the city established by God. Jesus, who is most gracious and full of compassion for sinners, weeps over Jerusalem because the wrath of God must be poured out upon them. And the same Jesus, a short time later, enters the temple of God with zealous indignation and overturns the table of the money changers and drives them out of the temple, condemning them and saying, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. As we heard in the Old Testament lesson. In Jesus, we see the answer to the conflict which seems to exist between God's holiness and God's love. As Jesus weeps, he shows his love. But as he prophesies the destruction of Jerusalem, he shows his holiness. There is no contradiction in Jesus at all. God loves those whom he must, in his just indignation and wrath, destroy. He is indeed merciful, and his mercy endures forever. But in every age, from the fall of man to the many rebellions of Israel in the wilderness and in the promised land, and generation after generation under their various kings, and even to this day, God's wrath is poured out upon the children of disobedience, even though he has already redeemed them from their sins by laying down the life of his son Jesus in their stead. Therefore, Peter says well, 2 Peter 2:1, that even the false prophets who lead people into sin deny the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. This is all fine and good, but it still does not answer the question that should be uppermost in your mind. Which will I receive, God's judgment or his mercy? Indeed, if there is still the wrath of God against sin, something that is very clear in the Scriptures, also in the New Testament, how can Jesus lay down his life for the very men who deny him and are finally destroyed in their sins and damned? The distinction is found in the last verse of our text. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all of the people were very attentive to hear him. God will show mercy, or he will show wrath, and the difference between the one or the other is faith. Hearing the word of Jesus and believing it, or despising his word. And when you hear the word of Jesus and see that he speaks against your sins, when he's overturning the money tables in your temple, and not just that of someone else, then you will see how well you really want to hear the word of Jesus. For it is just as much Jesus' word when he casts out the money changers, when he calls the Pharisees and Sadducees a brood of vipers, or whitewashed tombs because they were beautiful on the outside but full of dead men's bones on the inside. Sometimes you are the money changer. Sometimes you are the Pharisee. Will you then believe Jesus' word when he is talking about your sins, readily admitting that he speaks the truth? Or will you grow angry, chafing under his accusations, resenting his intrusion into your life, or his denigration of your character? Perhaps you do not feel that God's word has anything to say against your sins, and yet Jesus told even those who loved him and believed his word and followed him, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The people were attentive to hear Jesus, even while the scribes and leaders sought to kill him. I'm sure you've experienced both these emotions in yourself, even at the same time. When the word of God comes to you from a parent or from your pastor, or when you read it, your sinful flesh always chafes and rebels, even as your spirit is glad to hear it. And it really cannot be any other way, because you are both a sinner and a saint at the same time. The danger comes, however, when you listen to your flesh and forget how much your spirit loves and needs the word of Jesus. When instead of yielding to the accusations of the law and confessing your sins, you push it away and you stoke your pride and you believe yourself righteous in spite of God's condemnation of your sins. Jesus weeps for such a people. And he weeps. His weeping is not a sign of the mercy that he shows, but of the mercy that he cannot show. Because his people will not repent of their sins and believe the one whom God sent to be their Savior. He weeps because the time of their visitation is at hand, when God would keep all of his gracious promises to their fathers, and yet they would not believe. The time of God's grace in Christ is now at hand. It would not come again. God would not send a different Savior or a different Messiah, because there is salvation in none other name under heaven but the name of Jesus. Only Jesus would take our sins upon himself. Only Jesus would suffer and die upon the cross. Only Jesus will fulfill all the Scriptures, and he alone would rise from the dead to demonstrate that the Father had accepted the sacrifice of his Son for the sins of the world. This was the day of their visitation, when they were to receive all of the gifts of God, but they did not know it. And they were without excuse because they had ample proof. They had God's word. They had the miracles of Jesus. They had Jesus preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. God reached out to them with the preaching of his own dear Son to call Israel back from their perpetual backsliding, to give to them the promise of the ages. But they would not have it. They would not be gathered. And soon the day of their visitation would pass. And that is always the way it is, where men spurn the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Finally, he leaves them to their unbelief, and he does not call out to them anymore. He abandons them to the destruction that they chose when they would not hear his word and repent. So instead of showing them his mercy, he pours out his wrath. And it is a terrible wrath indeed, as Jesus describes the fate of the city of Jerusalem. God does not overlook sin in the least, because they rejected the substitute for their sins who had already borne the wrath of God. That wrath was turned back upon them. And God left no stone upon another, because they did not desire his mercy. They did not receive any. Today is our day of visitation. For now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. Will it always be with us? Will he grow tired of forgiving our sins and finally turn away from us as he turned away from Jerusalem? By no means. He will never tire of showing mercy to us, as long as we continue to hear his word and believe it. He said as much when he promised, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Therefore, when you hear his word and confess your sins, when you believe that Jesus has redeemed you with his blood, you should be certain that he will never leave you nor forsake you, as he has promised. He is with you always, even until the end of the world. As he was with those who escaped the wrath that was poured upon Jerusalem. For even in those days, he had his church, who had believed his word of warning and fled the city. And he kept them by the power of his Holy Spirit. And they went out preaching the name of Jesus throughout the world. And they established churches everywhere. And so the time of visitation came to yet more places in the world that had never known the name of Jesus, even as it has come among us. We are glad to be a church of Jesus. And though it still chafes our flesh to hear his word condemn our sins, let us remember the tears which our Lord shed, and remember how much he loves even those who deny him. And remembering this, let us gladly repent and believe his word of forgiveness, taking comfort that Jesus continues to dwell with us and visit us with his loving kindness and tender mercy. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O God, by whose Spirit all things are ordered in thy kingdom, so that if anything be done, it is thou who hast done it. If anything be given, it is thou who hast given it. Or if anything be withheld, it is thou who hast withheld it. Mercifully hear our prayer. Grant through thy Holy Spirit that thy word may come into thy church, and that thy people may hear it from Christ-like teachers with the ears of faith, and turning to thee in the fullness of love and trust, may know thy will, repent of their transgressions and iniquities, and amend their ways by obedience to thy commandments. By thy Spirit, help thy church to confess unceasingly that Jesus is Lord to thy glory, and that he who by his bitter sufferings and death redeemed us from all sin sits at the right hand of thy power, having authority over all things in heaven and earth, and that he shall reign until all enemies are under his feet. Give by thy Spirit every spiritual gift necessary for the work of thy church. Make thy light to go forth, and may people of every nation, kindred, tribe, or realm learn of thy glory. Keep the nations of the earth in peace and tranquility, and to this end turn the hearts of men from war and wickedness. Especially do we beseech thee to bless our own land and all who rule over us, that our liberties may be preserved and our laws upheld, that justice may prevail and lawlessness be punished. Grant that goodness may be honored and labor enjoyed. May the words of our Lord Jesus be taught daily in all homes, that both parents and children may grow in grace through the knowledge of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Bestow thy favor upon all useful labor in industry and agriculture, education and science, the professions and the arts, that in their advancement thy people may be prospered. Look in mercy upon the sick and the hurt, those who sorrow or mourn, the handicapped and the infirm, and hear their cry. Let the healthful powers of thy love come to them, so that they may turn to thee in praise and thanksgiving and bless thy holy name. These and all other prayers hear, O Lord, and grant for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whom are hidden all the treasures of heaven. Amen.
We sing hymn 605.
The world is very near.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take and eat. This is the truth. true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn 46. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you.